Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, again filling in for Mark King. We've got a special treat for you to start off the podcast today. We're going to jump right into a conversation that I had with a fellow member from Grizzly Bear Blues earlier today.
For today's episode, we've got a special guest, Brandon Abraham, a fellow writer at Grizzly Bear Blues, and been with Grizzly Bear Blues, I believe, now for a few years. Is that right, Brandon?
Yeah, I think February will be my two-year mark up with the good old blog.
Gotcha, man, that's awesome. Yeah, I started about 3 months ago. Wanted to bring Brandon on today. He's a fellow member of the blog with me and Mark King, the regular host. And really wanted to dive right into an article that Brandon had today. It was a really, really good article. I told Brandon earlier today that the measure of a good article is when you disagree with the content, which I do to an extent, no offense, but it's so well written, you enjoy it. And that truly is what this article was. It was a great one, really well written. So Brandon, wanted to give you the floor. It was about Tavy Bickerstaff and how we need to be patient in regards to, you know, him being a rookie coach. What are your thoughts on how he's done this year and you know, how we should approach him as the year goes along?
Well, and I'm critical of JB. I think, you know, there's plenty of room for improvement for him. You know, the other night with Denver was not the best game to have right before my article went live. But my kind of take with JB is he's learning. It's his first time as a head coach where he really has a sense of job security. His other two seasons, you know, he had that stint in Houston at the end of the Dwight Mayer, you know, before Dwight Howard left. And then, I mean, last year's team with the Grizzlies, he did not get a good coaching experience. So he's, you know, still tinkering with some lineups, still trying to figure out, you know, the rotation, what he wants to do. And it takes some time. I mean, he's the gray beard kind of fools you, but he's only 39 years old. He's been an associate head coach for, you know, over 10 years. So he at least kind of knows what he's doing. But it's just, it seems like anytime something goes wrong for the Grizzlies, he's the scapegoat. And I just think it's a little unfair. I don't think he's perfect. His rotations are just weird. His refusal to play Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, late in the game is frustrating. So, you know, he has his faults, but I don't think people really praise him enough for having the Grizzlies back in the thick of the playoff, or, you know, like, it's not every loss isn't JB's fault.
That makes a lot of sense. Yesterday, I'll be honest, I laid into him. The thing about it is that I do agree with you. I feel like that, you know, JB bought into the Grizzlies' philosophy. They gave him the players, and he's maximized their potential for what the Grizzlies wanted to be as a defensive-first team. Just like you said, though, just wish that there was some more common sense at times, playing Jaren and all that different stuff, But overall, it definitely does. If you're listening today, check out Brandon's article at Grizzly Bear Blues. Very well written. It gives you a lot of in-depth information on JB. Basically, just practice patience. Well, beyond JB, the other big reason why we wanted to talk with you today is that for Grizzly Bear Blues, you do a lot of stuff with the Hustle. Of course, that's the Grizzlies G League team. And so just want to ask you a couple of quick questions in regards to them. First off, how are the Hustle doing? How's the new coach looking? And, you know, who is standing out as far as the roster goes? You know, we know Yuta Watanabe and Javon Carter and Ivan Rabb. Is DJ Stephens, is there anybody else beyond them that really stands out to you?
Really, first off, the coach, Brad Jones, he's been terrific since taking over for Glenn Cyprian last year. You know, I was a little bummed out when Sip left last year because I built a good relationship with him, a good friendly media to coach kind of type relationship. And, you know, he moved on to Texas Tech. But Brad Jones has his team playing super well. They're currently 9-6. I think they're like fourth in the Western Conference, which at this point last year, they were at the bottom of the standings like the Grizzlies were. So he's done well with adapting a modern offense and good defense and making in-game adjustments. And really the depth on this team is what's been most impressive on a player side of it. You know, just Monday night, they were without Javon Carter, who's kind of been hampered by a knee injury. Yuta Watanabe, you know, he was in the concussion protocol. DJ Stephens was with the Grizzlies, and Markelle Crawford was hurt. So all they really had was Ivan Rapp. And Rapp played great, but you have guys like Tyler Harvey who led D1 in scoring, you know, I think it was 2015. You get guys like Tariq Phillip, who was the Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year, you know, coming in making hustle plays. So they really have the next man up mentality to kind of fill in when their core players are missing, and that's kind of something that they didn't have last year.
And the thing that I'll say is that it's kind of cool that, you know, the Grizzlies and the Hustle are both having a little bit of renaissance this year. You know, you mentioned Javon Carter's knee injury. Well, as a lot of folks know, here recently the Nuggets had signed another Hustle player, Brandon Goodwin, when they had suffered their injuries. And then yesterday they signed Nick Young. So if my understanding is correct, we retain the rights of Brandon Goodwin. So this leads me into the big question I wanted to ask you. You know, with Shelvin Mack struggling, there has been a lot of call, mainly from fans, about let's see what we've got in Javon. But as you said, there's a knee injury that he's dealing with right now. With Brandon Goodwin coming back, could we see some roster maneuvering to where, since he can come back to the Hustle, Javon may be more available to the Grizzlies and we could see him featured more with the Grizzlies? Do you think Javon is ready for that? Do you think he would be productive in a role with the Grizzlies at this point?
I think that truly depends on how long the knee injury kind of lingers. Because I think what they're doing right now is with Shelvin Mack, and then with the Grizzlies, you have guys like Kyle Anderson and Omri Caspi who kind of be a point forward. They don't want to throw Javon Carter out there with a hurt knee up against NBA competition. Now, don't get me wrong. Javon Carter, up until his knee started bothering him, shooting lights out from the floor, dominating the G League. He's kind of one of those, you watch him and you know he's too good to be playing down in South Haven on a nightly basis. But the knee injury has slowed him down. His shooting percentages have really kind of tanked, you know, over the last couple of games just because he hasn't been healthy and they've even, you know, held him out of Monday night's game. He's still productive. He's, you know, worked on his facilitating, which has been great. He's, you know, a menace on defense. I think he's still in the top five in the G League with like two or three steals a game. So I think he could be ready. I think the Grizzlies right now, although Matt continuing to struggle is worrisome, they have the luxury of letting Javon heal, maybe, you know, get another couple of warm-up games in South Haven before kind of, you know, seeing how he's going to react against big league competition in the NBA.
That's a very good point, and it makes perfect sense, you know, especially with him being a rookie. You don't want to kind of hang him out to dry with him not being able to, you know, really be able to capitalize on his opportunity. Speaking of injuries, Brandon, you being close to the Hustle, going to games and things like that, has there been any word potentially of Dylan Brooks and the expected time frame in which he may come back and play a few games with the Hustle? Coming back from an injury, is that a route the Grizzlies may take with his injury? What's the thoughts there?
I haven't heard anything officially. The Grizzlies haven't done anything with that, but I would be very surprised if Dylan doesn't at least play one game with the Hustle. Now, the one thing that does kind of hurt those chances are the Hustle are going to spend the greater part of the next couple of weeks on the road. And so the Grizzlies may decide they'd rather just let Dylan practice and maybe miss an extra game instead of sending him, you know, out west where the Hustle will be. So it kind of depends on when he's really getting healthy. If they don't want to send him out west, he won't play. But, you know, I think depending on how the schedules line up, it would benefit him and it would at least the Grizzlies are going to try and work it out to where Dylan can play a game with the Hustle.
Understood. And then, of course, you know, there's here recently, you know, with the Grizzlies' struggles, three and six in the last nine games. A lot of it has been, you know, because of the injuries to Mark and Mike. Do you think that if we were to wind up seeing, you know, an extended rest for either player, do you think that we finally might be able to see Yuta on the Grizzlies' roster and featured a little bit, or? What have you seen as far as the Grizzlies' approach with Yuta and his potential to, at some point this year, be able to get featured a bit with the Grizzlies?
I think right now he's just kind of stuck behind the depth chart because he's played – he hasn't had a huge box score numbers. He had one game where he went off for, like, 27 points, but he almost reminds me a lot like Tayshaun Prince back when he was still with the Pistons. He does a little bit of everything. He'll get, you know, good number of rebounds, good number of assists, play solid defense. He'll score some points, but not, you know, enough to really make you think he's a high-volume scorer. And I think right now they're really kind of having him learn the system, get used to, like, you know, an NBA system. A little bit of it's the marketing scheme, you know. The Japanese culture has been insane. You know, South Haven, there's always, you know, media members that just were not there last year. So people care more. But it's also not just the marketing campaign for it. Yuta's a really good player. I think, you know, he could be in a potential long-term. You know, we have Caspi on just a one-year deal. He could be a Caspi replacement or, you know, if Caspi gets some trade value and they decide to move on. So right now I think there's just too many guys that play Yuta's position for him to get too many minutes. But I think being able to practice in the Forum, getting used to the Grizzly system, will make it to where once he gets his, you know, gets minutes, he's going to play well for the Grizzlies, I think.
Gotcha. Well, Brandon, I'll tell you this. I've seen, you know, your work with the Hustle. You do quality work, and it's definitely appreciated. Now, that's the reason why the Grizzlies moved the Hustle here, was to be able to take advantage of, you know, the thirst for basketball in this city. So I know the folks at the blog and, you know, all of us definitely appreciate your work. It's been great talking with you, Brandon. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. Happy holidays to you. And I'm sure that we'll talk with Mark and see maybe if we can get you back on soon to talk more about the Hustle and the Grizzlies in general. All right, bud?
All right, sounds good, Sean. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, filling in again for Mark King this week. We do want to send a big thank you out to Brandon Abraham, a fellow writer over at Grizzly Bear Blues. If you have the chance today, please go over and read his article from yesterday. It was a very well-written, well-thought-out article talking about J.B. Bickerstaff and practicing patience with the fact that J.B. is in his rookie year. And obviously, there's been more good than bad. You wouldn't have been able to tell that from yesterday's podcast. I was a bit critical. But overall, J.B. has definitely done a better job than most expected. So, like I say, if you had the chance, go read Brandon's article over at Grizzly Bear Blues. You can follow Brandon on Twitter at BC Abraham. As we do every Wednesday, we're going to go, or in the second segment, we're going to do a little bit of a statistical analysis of the Grizzlies. And, you know, really what it comes down to is this, is that since the Grizzlies were 12-5 between the win in San Antonio and the loss of the Clippers in LA, they have gone 3-6. And the reason why that is, more than anything, in my opinion, is statistics show that the Grizzlies' true talent level as a team is starting to come into focus. And we're seeing that because the weaknesses that were clear with this team coming into this season are now the reason why the Grizzlies are 3-6 since being number one in the Western Conference. The Grizzlies' weaknesses are starting to show, and they're starting to impact the outcome of games more because we're in a stretch in which we're facing teams whose strengths, unfortunately, match up well against our weaknesses. What do I mean specifically? What I mean specifically is that the Grizzlies right now are 29th in the league in offensive rebounding percentage and 27th in the league overall. That was clear. We could see from the preseason that the rebounding ability of the Grizzlies was a clear weakness. Well, over the past week, for instance, for Friday night we faced the New Orleans Pelicans. They're 8th in offensive rebounding percentage and 6th in total rebounding percentage. Last night we faced the Denver Nuggets. They were 2nd in offensive rebounding percentage and they're 2nd in the league in total rebounding percentage for the season. Tonight we faced the Portland Trailblazers. They're 3rd in offensive rebounding percentage and 3rd in total rebounding percentage. Friday night we faced the Heat. They're 7th in offensive rebounding percentage and 10th in rebounding and total rebounding percentage. And then Saturday night we faced the Rockets, who were 10th in offensive rebounding percentage. Basically what that means is that over the past week, we're in a weak stretch right now where we literally are facing 5 of the team's best offensive rebounding producers in the league.
So what it's simple. Statistics are showing that our statistical weakness is being exposed by teams to statistical strengths. And so because of the rebounding, it showed Saturday night when we gave up 69 rebounds to the LA Lakers. The only team that's topped that this year is the Trailblazers, who got 70 in the game. So right now, the reason why the Grizzlies are struggling beyond the injuries to Mark and Mike is just simply because their inability to rebound is giving other teams a clear advantage because it's those teams' strengths, and it's hard for the Grizzlies to overcome, especially when those teams also are playoff-caliber teams. The other thing, though, beyond statistics showing, you know, a reason why the Grizzlies are struggling is that the Grizzlies are starting to show what we thought they would be, besides their weaknesses, what their strengths are. For instance, the Grizzlies are third in the league in turnovers created, and they're also seventh in the league they have the third fewest turnovers forced in the league, and they're seventh in the turnovers that they create. So in other words, we are the third best team in terms of turning the ball over the least ourselves, but we're seventh best in the league at creating turnovers. So that was a strength of the Grizzlies. The idea was that this Grizzlies team would, the way that they would be able to win some games is by forcing extra opportunities while also limiting other teams' chances to score. And in games where the Grizzlies are now 30th in the league in pace of play, that's a big deal. Extra possession. If you can gain the advantage of having more possession yourself than the team that you're playing in a slow-paced game, that makes each possession have a little bit more value. And thus, it definitely works out to the Grizzlies' advantage. Again, we now have fallen to 30th in points scored per game. We've fallen off a little bit with that. One of the reasons why is because our shooting has not been as strong. And going into Saturday night, we were 6th in the league in three-point percentage made, and now we're 10th. One of the key reasons why we struggled against the Nuggets and against the Lakers, we weren't as efficient as shooting three-pointers, and it showed up in the final box score. The defense, though, beyond turnovers created, right now we are third in the league in points allowed per game. We're 6th in defensive efficiency. So overall, the Grizzlies are clearly who we thought they would be. The unfortunate thing right now in terms of the schedule is that teams that are the strongest in the league, in the areas that we are the weakness, we're just matching up, and it's hard for us to overcome that natural disadvantage that we are against these teams, especially with Mark and Mike injured. So just the statistical analysis shows that right now things are not matching up well in terms of the Grizzlies' weaknesses versus other teams' strengths. Hopefully, once we get past this schedule and we get past Christmas, the schedule will get a little bit easier, and with better health from, you know, our best players, we'll be able to have a better chance to overcome it. Coming up in the third segment, we're going to go a little bit, but we're going to dive deep into tonight's matchup against the Portland Trailblazers, and we'll wrap up the show for this Wednesday. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. So tonight, the Portland Trailblazers come to town, and for the first time this season, they come into the game 15-12, just like the Grizzlies, towards the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture at this point in time. We're both right in the 7th and 6th positions. The Grizzlies entered the game 15-11. Both teams are in similar stretches right now. The Portland Trailblazers are 3-6 themselves. If you look back when the Grizzlies were 12-5, the reason why they were able to get to the top of the Western Conference was because on the same night that we had gotten a big victory earlier this season, the Trailblazers lost by 43, and they were the reason why we were able to claim number one in the Western Conference. But ever since then, both teams have certainly struggled. The Trailblazers are 3-7 over that stretch, while the Grizzlies are 3-6. Overall, 15-11 for the Grizzlies, 15-12 for the Trailblazers. So tonight's matchup, following the second segment, this game versus this team is a microcosm of the Grizzlies season as a whole. As we mentioned in the second segment, the Grizzlies' clear weakness is rebounding. The Trailblazers' clear strength is rebounding. The Grizzlies' clear strength is the ability to win the game through turnovers, limiting their own and creating more against their opponent. That is the Trailblazers' weakness. They are one of the worst. They are the worst in the league at creating turnovers, and also are not that efficient in terms of taking control of the ball themselves. So the key for tonight's game is going to be how big of an advantage can the Trailblazers get in the rebounding categories versus how big of an advantage can the Grizzlies create through the turnovers. Whoever creates more possessions for the Grizzlies through turnovers and for the Trailblazers, especially through offensive rebounds, that's probably going to be the determining factor in who wins tonight's games. Now, statistically, one of the clear strengths of the Trailblazers is their rebounding. Obviously, as everybody knows, in terms of personnel, it begins and ends with their guards. C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard are one of the best combinations of guards in the league, averaging 49 points a game between them. They're shooting nearly 36% from three. They're shooting nearly 45% from the field. Combined between them, you're looking at nearly 38 field goals per game. So again, very, very elite combination of guards that can score from anywhere on the court. As always, that's going to be where you've got to focus your defense when you face the Trailblazers. If you could in any way, shape, or form limit their looks, you're not going to limit their shots, but if you could limit the amount of good looks that they get and try to keep them from penetrating, that's going to give you a good chance to win. As we mentioned, the rebounding for the Trailblazers is a clear strength. The biggest reason why that's become a clear strength is the breakout season of center Jusuf Nurkić. Nurkić came over to Portland from the Denver Nuggets, who we saw on Monday night, and he has been able to blossom into one of the league's best centers. An offensive rating of 117 this year. He's averaging 15 points and nearly 10.5 rebounds per game, shooting 51% from the field. So Nurkić is definitely someone who is making an impact inside for Portland, one that they haven't had in a while, to go with their strong backcourt play. That is going to be specific in terms of a specific player, something for the Grizzlies to focus on. As we've discussed a few times this week, Marc Gasol being injured right now, and when he is playing, he's definitely not as effective as he was earlier this season. His ability earlier in the season to limit the production of some of the league's best centers, it's just simply not there right now. So the responsibility to try to limit Nurkic's production tonight is going to fall on Joakim Noah. It's going to fall on Kyle Anderson, Jermichael Green, Jaren Jackson. So beyond focusing on the backcourt of the Trailblazers, really trying to limit Nurkic's production is going to be key. As mentioned, the Portland Trailblazers right now are 17th in the league in terms of turning the ball over themselves, but they're 30th in the league in creating turnovers against their opponents. They simply do not create turnovers. Whatever reason you want to give that, they don't create extra possessions through turnovers, and so that could be a big advantage for the Grizzlies if we can play effective defense and try to limit their looks while also being able to get in passing lanes and get some steals. Overall, the Trailblazers are 11th in points scored this year. They're 14th in the amount of points that is scored against them. And just in general, this is a team that is balanced. This is a team that has the ability to be able to play up to its competition. But as we've also seen, they currently are in a stretch where they have allowed 10 straight games of their opponents scoring 100 points or more. It just seems like sometimes the Trailblazers decide that they may want to get into a shootout, and they just don't have the ability to keep up with their opponent due to the fact that they can't create extra possessions. As far as the Grizzlies tonight goes, obviously we know that Mike and we know that Mark are limited due to injuries. So it's again going to be one of those games where the Grizzlies really have to have their reserves step up. We were able to do that Friday night against the Pelicans. Shelvin Mack had one of his better games over the past few weeks against the Denver Nuggets, but it falls on Kyle Anderson, who had a decent game against against Denver, but it falls on Kyle Anderson, it falls on Jermichael Green, it really again falls on Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple has got to find his shooting stroke again against the Lakers, 0-4 in the first quarter with open looks. If Garrett Temple can get going from long range, he's been playing great defense, but if the Grizzlies can find their stroke from the three-point arc, that'll also create another way for them to be able to find an advantage in this game. Overall, Portland themselves, they're 15th in the league in 3-point attempts. They're 11th in the league in 3-pointers made, and they're 13th in 3-point percentage. So they're right there with the Grizzlies in terms of their ability to make three-pointers, but since they shoot more per game, it's likely that we may be behind in that statistic as well. So it's going to be a game in which the Grizzlies are going to have to make shots, they're going to have to limit offensive rebounds, and they're going to have to create turnovers in order to have a chance to win. I do think it's going to be another tough matchup, especially if Mike and Mark are limited in terms of their production. Could the Grizzlies find a way to win? Yes, but it's going to be one of those nights to where two or three of our role players are really going to have to step up. Beyond the role players, I'd like to get back to the point that I've tried to make a few times this week. Tonight would be a great night to feature Jaren Jackson Jr. Again, with Joseph Nurkic likely being focused on for offensive production from the Trailblazers, the other two players that Jaren Jackson Jr. may match up with are either Zach Collins, Al-Farouq Aminu, potentially Myers Leonard when he's in the game. When you look at those three players, Al-Farouq Aminu, Collins, and Myers Leonard, each of them are very talented, but they simply do not have the capability of scoring or the natural capabilities that Jaren Jackson Jr. does. When Jaren Jackson Jr. is on the court, the Grizzlies are shown to perform better as a team than when he's off. It's just true. If you look at plus minus, if you look at Jaren Jackson's usage percentage, when he is used more, the Grizzlies have a winning record. So a big key for tonight, again with Mark and Mike limited, is finding extra offense. Beyond being able to shoot the three-point ball better, especially from Temple and others, is getting Jaren Jackson Jr. the ball. This feels like this needs to be one of those games where it's another breakout game for Jaren Jackson Jr. We saw it in Brooklyn when he was able to take over the game late and lead us to victory. Tonight would be a great night, again, for him to take over. So limiting the offensive rebounds, winning the turnover battle significantly, and as a team, being able to play great defense while shooting the ball better from three and featuring Jaren Jackson, I think those are keys to tonight's victory. Not all that confident that we're going to be able to pull it off with Mark and Mike limited, but hopefully we'll be surprised if the team can come together and play efficiently and be able to overcome the recent stretch of bad play. We thank you again for joining us. Definitely tomorrow we will recap the Blazers game. Also tomorrow we'll check in on Jaren Jackson Jr. as we do every Thursday. And we do a statistical analysis of the Grizzlies on Wednesdays. We'll do the same for Jaren Jackson on Thursday. And then pretty excited, as we do every Thursday, we'll talk with Grizzly Bear Blues site manager Joe Moldax, kind of get his perspective, may talk a little bit of Jamie Bickerstaff with him. We'll talk about the Grizzlies' recent struggles, and we may do a little bit of we may look forward to the Grizzlies' upcoming schedule, as well as ways to improve the roster when we talk with Joel Maladex. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you soon.